The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning Glory America, bonjour, hi Canada. Here's the rundown of the news you absolutely must have, the analysis you need on Monday, June 29th, in the year of the plague, 2020. And the only story is the one big story. The United States has surged past 2.5 million coronavirus cases. I was on Meet the Press yesterday discussing this. We had 509 deaths on Saturday. Just for comparison purposes, 509 deaths on Saturday. In the height of the pandemic's surge was in May, I believe, 2,700 deaths in one day. That's for comparison purposes. I misspoke, by the way, on Meet the Press. If you happen to watch it, I said Germany had 689 deaths the day before. They had not. They'd had 689 cases. I wanted to say that first thing out of the box. I misspoke, and I knew it as soon as I got in the car and looked at my notes, and I said, oh, gosh darn it. So I had to immediately tweet out my correction. I'm sorry, that is not NBC News' fault. That's my fault. But the other two numbers are correct. 2,700 is our high water mark for deaths in the United States. 509 deaths on Saturday. So what does that tell us? Although the number of cases has surged, the number of deaths has fallen. Indeed, the numbers that have come out of Florida, where there is incredibly good tracking going on in terms of the prevalence and incidence of the cases, we can see overall that it's about the young people. On Saturday in Florida, for the second straight day, Florida crushed its previous record for new coronavirus cases, reporting 9,585 infections, according to the New York Times this morning. Another 8,530 infections were reported on Sunday. So there you have 18,000 infections in Florida of the coronavirus on Saturday and Sunday. The median age of the new coronavirus patient in Florida is now, wait for it, 36 years old. Everybody, it's asymptomatic transmission is just proving impossible to control. The new coronavirus cases nationally are following the same sort of pattern. I made the point, and by the way, there is a concerted effort by the anti-Trump media to blame Trump for this. So yesterday I made the point in one of my three or four at-bats on Meet the Press. No one is talking about the event that triggered this surge. And there is no getting around that the murder of George Floyd precipitated millions of people in close contact with or without masks. Some wore masks. Many did not. They were all jammed together. It passes sweaty contact, droplets in the air. Don't tell me it wasn't the marches. Of course, it was the marches. That does not say the marches shouldn't have occurred. It just says there is a cause and effect, and you'll never persuade me that it was not the marches that did not lead to this surge. Now, governors doing what they can are closing bars and clubs and not moving forward. But let's be clear. This is not Donald Trump's fault. I woke up early today to pen an article for the Washington Post because I just watched it all day yesterday. The Fetching Mrs. Hewitt has gone off for a week, so I'm a bachelor for a week. So I watched 3 hours of Yellowstone and lots of news and prepared the show and prepared a piece for the Washington Post. And all the news you need to know today is that the world is in the grip of the virus. All the world can do is common sense preparation for the time being and wait for the United States and others to come up with a vaccine. Now, our therapeutics have improved dramatically. Our therapeutics have improved so that the death rate is, the likelihood of death if you get the virus is just lower. I don't know what the exact percentage is. It's just lower. If you are over 70 years old or even over 50 years old, your chances of surviving are so much greater. I watched Andrew Cuomo on Meet the Press yesterday try and scare people about the Kawasaki syndrome. It's bad if a child gets the Kawasaki-like syndrome that accompanies a very tiny number of cases. But children are not yet at risk. Schools should reopen. People under 40 are going to get it, and at worst, they're going to feel bad for a couple of weeks. Again, I'm telling you, 95% of the cases. It remains a disease that is fatal to older people with two or three of the comorbidities. That's the real target of this. So we have widespread, almost unstoppable spreading, though it would be good to slow the surge down, again, not to cure the disease, but to preserve hospital capacity. So please, as I have said since January, wear a mask outside. Wear a mask inside if you can, but outside if you can. Don't wear a mask during dinner. If you're in a socially distant restaurant, the server will have a mask on. See, that is called minimizing risk without being nutty. I'm not asking you to be nutty. I'm asking you to be aware that you don't know if you're spreading the disease, so wear the mask. Unless you know you don't have the disease, in which case you don't have to wear the mask, but you should be wishing other people around you did. Would that we were all the president and the vice president surrounded by a cone of droplet-free air. The droplets don't stay in the air the whole time. They fall to the ground eventually. You don't get them from your shoes. So the common sense approach here is just put on your mask and be prepared for someone in your family to be ill. Yesterday, the director said in my ear his son had had it. I know the director well. He's just a wonderful guy. Meet the Press director yesterday. His son had it, but his young son's a collegiate athlete, and he'd gotten over it. I'm sure there are tens of millions of people around the world who have had coronavirus and felt terrible for a couple of weeks. Not as bad as some people have felt. Not intubator bad, not hospitalization bad, not I cannot inhale, exhale the right way bad, not the fevers and the aches, but just sort of tired, achy. It is flu-like in that regard. But the major story is, and this is what I want you to underscore, this has nothing to do with Donald Trump. This has everything to do with the marches that followed George Floyd's murder. And the transparent, indeed translucent attempt of the media to blame Donald Trump for this is simply part of the elect Joe Biden campaign going on in the infotainment news network complex that is New York, D.C., and L.A. based. That's my takeaway. And you are free to disagree with me. 1-800-520-1234. Trump has not botched the pandemic. He's done very well. People forget he closed the border with China on January 28th. People forget he sent Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to argue to his counterparts and National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien to argue with his counterparts. Close the borders. They were ignored, and the world has suffered. This is China's virus. More specifically, the Communist Chinese Party that did this to the world. Not Donald Trump, not Vice President Pence, not Tony Fauci. China, the communists in China did this. And his response, Donald Trump's response, has been as good as anyone's. He did not screw up the first test. The CDC bureaucrats did. So the time he bought us was in large part wasted. And now we wasted the suppression we did via the social distancing for 45 days. So we start over without the massive demonstrations. But I just wanted to say that. Mike in Fairfax County. Good morning, Mike. Hello, Mike. Oh, Mike.
Hey,
yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to say you're confirming my what my retired radiologist father told me what's going to happen. This virus, obviously the protests and everything accelerated this. He says, but unless they find a cure right away, you're going to have a form of you're going to have the viral spread. Younger people are going to become immune to it, and you got to protect older people. And that isn't going to change. And you're going to see other countries, little flare-ups starting to occur, because if you suppress the curve too much, what's going to happen is you're just delaying when most people are going to eventually have the virus and then become immune to it. And he said that didn't change. This just accelerated it. And the big lie is they're not telling you the number of deaths is continuing to go down. I totally expected a spike, even if we didn't have the riot, you know, the riots and the protests. The thing that I find amazing is, did you ask Chuck Todd, why are they suddenly quiet during the week or 3 weeks or 4 weeks of these protests without warning? Oh, you're...
Look,
you're
in my 3 minutes, I made the case for the president. I made the case for... No one talks about ventilators anymore. I'm not out to get anyone. Chuck runs his own show. He runs it very fairly, gives me my at-bats. All I want people to understand is the whole story are those demonstrations. That's why we have the spike. And the spike is going to be with us for as long as those people continue to circulate. Stay tuned. Welcome back, America. Spotify did a list at the beginning of summer of the top 50 summer songs. They had to be number one at some time in the summers over the past 30 years, and so we're using it as this, maybe over the past 40 years. I think that's got to be 40 years old. I'm not sure. Welcome back. Hugh Hewitt, Monday, June 29th. Tim Scott on Face the Nation yesterday with John Dickerson said what needed to be said. Cut number one.
There's a reason why murder is up 79% over the numbers last year, 64% shooting increase over the numbers last year, just in New York City. When you start demonizing and stereotyping all law enforcement as evil and bad, you start putting targets on their backs, you start seeing them withdraw from some areas, and that creates a powder keg that's not good for the nation. And so the demonizing of law enforcement is not a part of my bill, because I don't want law enforcement to demonize African Americans. We have to be on the same page. I spoke to her last night. I spoke with her last week, and we're going to get together this week. And that's good, because I'm serious about getting something done. But we cannot get something done if the Democrats in the Senate are more interested in presidential politics than they are getting something actually finished this year.
I'm sorry, that was Tim Scott on State of the Union with Jake Tapper, obviously, if you're watching on our YouTube feed, and I played cut number one. Let's play cut number two of that conversation with Jake Tapper.
I spoke to her last night. I spoke with her last week, and we're going to get together this week. And that's good, because I'm serious about getting something done. But we cannot get something done if the Democrats in the Senate are more interested in presidential politics than they are getting something actually finished this year.
He went on to tell Jake Tapper that Democrats won't even let him offer his amendment, which is their amendment on chokeholds. Cut number three.
The chokehold. The difference between their bill and my bill on the chokehold was the carotid. That is the primary, the largest difference, is whether or not the flow of air plus the flow of blood should be included in the definition. I told the folks that I was negotiating with, I will accept that as an amendment, and I'll offer it myself so that my 52 other Republicans will come along with me. They said, no thanks. I said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you won't take your own definition as a way to improve the bill? They said no.
In fact, Tim Scott laid out the reality of why we do not have police reform. Cut number four.
So what I'm suggesting here is that when we continue to play politics, trying to get 100% of what one side says is right, and I know only leads to more challenges in the streets of America, that's the place we should not go. That's where we are right now. We're actually, instead of getting 75% last week, we're at zero this week, and we'll head into the 4th of July with nothing done. And that
nothing done.
Is a shame.
Senator Scott, nothing done. Why? Why is it? Because of the Democrats. We're not having police reform because of the Democrats. They are radical. He also wanted to stand by the police. I want you to hear that. Cut number five.
I'm not going after character-driven law enforcement officers. I refuse to stereotype officers, especially as an African-American who's been stereotyped. But the bad officers, let's go full bore after those folks. And we could have found the middle ground on that.
You know, it is very, very clear to me. Tim Scott owns this issue, and Democrats are afraid of the issue because of Tim Scott, so they're going to bury the issue. Let's check and see what markets did overnight, brought to you by Birch Gold. Go to HughGold.com in order to diversify your portfolio, or if you want to buy gold, or you can text my name, Hugh, to 474747. Everyone should have gold in their portfolio, whether they own it themselves in a safety deposit box or a portion of their IRA or 401k. is diversified into it. Birch Gold will teach you how to do it. They're very, very trustworthy. Gold is up to $1,785 this morning, another 0.25% hike. I told you in January to go to gold. I wish you had. On Friday, the Dow was down 730, the NASDAQ down 259, and the S&P down 74. Overnight, Japan dropped 2.5 points, but Germany and England are open, and they are rising. Maybe a good day ahead. I never predict in the morning what the afternoon will bring, but I tell you, you do need gold in your portfolio. Go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. Come right back here to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. I don't know why singles make number one in the summer, but they tend to last longer in people's imagination if they were in that target area. You know, most oldie stations are targeted for people 30 years to 40 years after they hit 14. So you know that they're hitting your emotional. It's when you are most driven nuts by your hormones and in love for the first time, and the music of that time sticks deep in your psyche. And so they, oldie station, target a 4 or 5 year gap, a 4 or 5 year series of years to make sure they hit the songs that resonate with you. I was on Meet the Press yesterday. Always fun. Not as much fun as when we can't join in the studio, so I don't get to talk sports with Chuck off air. But I always review for you what I had to say. I made my first error in 5 years yesterday on Meet the Press. Some predictions that don't come true aren't wrong. I wish I'd been right about Bernie and wrong about the virus. But yesterday I made a statistical wrong error. I confused the number of new cases in Germany with the number of deaths, and I can't correct that enough. I did it yesterday 5 or 6 times. I'll do it 5 or 6 times today. But in any event, here's what I had to say on Meet the Press yesterday. If you missed it, cut number 13.
Hugh Hewitt, was that Roger Mudd, Ted Kennedy redux?
No, that was a Clayton Kershaw windup, and I think the president did not throw the pitch, which is we're going to get back to 3.5% unemployment in January. We're going to get to a 355-ship Navy. I've got 2 Supreme Court justices, 53 appeals court judges, 143 district court judges. We're going to have the economic blue-collar boom back. I mean, you've got to deliver on the pitch. But no, I didn't think it was a Roger Mudd moment at all. So what Chuck, this was in response to the president was asked by Sean Hannity, what was your second term agenda? And you know how Clayton Kershaw does that. I don't know where Dwayne is today. He's kind of slouching around the office. And yeah, he's there. So I'm curious, how would you describe Clayton Kershaw's delivery?
Lanky and clunky.
Yeah. And so the president, and he has a hitch in it, doesn't he?
Oh, he has a hitch in it, yes.
Yeah. So when they asked me, what'd you think of the president's answer to Sean Hannity? I said it was Clayton Kershaw's delivery. Chuck got it, but then it occurred to me that most Americans don't like the Dodgers. So they may not have known it. So when you throw the pitch, when you do a delivery, what do you teach your kids? They don't let you teach kids. They just let you umpire kids, right?
I have coached for decades, yes.
So what do you teach them about a windup?
Don't do it like Clayton Kershaw.
And that is applicable to President Trump. If you're going to get asked what your second term agenda is, you use numbers. Oh, I want to get back to 3.5% unemployment. I want another 2 Supreme Court justices. I want another 53 appeals court justices. I want 143 district court justices. I want the military spending the same as I've had and greater. I want it all. I want inflation as low. I want the same number of regular. You use numbers, but you got to deliver the pitch. Okay, second cut from Meet the Press, cut number 14.
Hugh, how would you advise the president to turn this around? I mean, it does look like at this point they've made the decision the federal government isn't going to own the response. I mean, Secretary Azar kept bringing it back to the states, back to the states. I understand that's a federalism response, but it's not working.
Well, yesterday, 500 Americans died, Chuck. And in Germany, 680 Germans died. The United States' death toll has dropped dramatically from May when it was 2,700. And in between, it's been a month and 3 days since George Floyd was murdered. In between, we had millions of Americans express their anger at overzealous policing and at the unnecessary use of violence, often lethal against African Americans. And that was an event in the story of this virus. There's another event in the story of the virus. There's a ventilator supply now of 50,000 that the president got done. There is a lot more social distancing, and a lot of older Americans are intuitively staying away. And the sharp rise in cases is among younger Americans. So what I think the president has to do, look,
Joe Biden is very confident. He's measuring the drapes in the White House basement already. He thinks he's got this in the bag. President needs to, as I said in the first segment, go back to his numbers and say, hey, America, who's going to get us back to where we were in January? Joe Biden in the basement or Donald Trump? And I think he's got to do that in one-on-one interviews with as many people, including you and people who might be very tough on him in conversation every day, a one-on-one interview like he did in 2016. So that was, by the way, that's where I made my error. 685 Germans did not die. There were 685 new cases. What I was trying to get to was that the rise around the world occurred in those parts of the world where there were demonstrations, especially in places like Austin, Texas. That's the one I had researched. I wished I'd written down my numbers better. I screwed up the German number. My bad, not NBC's bad. They didn't give me bad numbers. I do my own research in the morning, and I the COVID drop-down menu said 685, and it meant new cases, not deaths, and so I was going too fast. So on me totally. Point being, in the United States, 2,700 deaths with our high-water mark. We're down to 500. I hope we're down to 5 soon, and we should get to zero if we get a vaccine. But it's because of the demonstrations, all right? The demonstrations. And how does the president respond? He does not allow the media to pin this on him, the second surge. It is not his fault. Cut number 15, my last bit on Meet the Press yesterday.
Hugh Hewitt, if there was a message of the week from the administration, it was that they wanted to show that there was a concerted effort here, that they were on the side of protecting statues. The administration, you had the Barr letter, you had Wolf's letter to social media platforms, you had the president's letter to Chicago. Do you think an old-style law and order type of messaging really is the right messaging right now?
Well, I heard a different message, Chuck. I think there's a consensus that the statues of the Confederacy have got to come down. The bases that are named for treasonous people have to be renamed. I think the John Stennis Carrier has to be renamed. He was a stone-cold racist like Woodrow Wilson. I think there's a consensus on that. There's also a consensus that they have to be changed by lawful methods, not by mob violence. I thought Tom Cotton's speech on the floor of the Senate talking about mob violence and Lincoln's speech at the Lyceum was very well received. I do believe what Casey just said. Complacency on the Democratic side is their biggest danger. The Democrats have gone hard left. And the phantom of Joe Biden on the top of that is not going to cover over the AOC and the squad's effect on the.
So that was my, 3 minutes is all I want. That's all Chuck needs to give me. All I want is my 3 minutes because he usually gives me a fair question like that. I do not believe the Republicans are against changing the bases of the names. I don't believe they should stand by the Stennis. He was a stone cold racist. In the end, he campaigned for Mike Espy. So there are a couple of people out there who said, oh, he's a good guy, and he campaigned for Mike Espy. He was the first African-American elected from the South since Reconstruction. Spare me. He was along with Robert Byrd and along with Sam Ervin, one of the stone cold racists who opposed the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which was passed with Republican votes. You know, I don't give anyone any ground on civil rights. It's a Republican issue. It always has been from the 19th century forward. We've always been right. We've always been the colorblind society. And we will not change from that. And the statues to Confederate General, I don't get it. I always carved out an exception in my mind. There was an Old Town Alexandria, the statue of just a Confederate soldier, not a general, looking down. It was erected by his comrades at the time that the war was over and the North rightly won, and he was mourning the loss of his comrades. And I sort of understood that one, but it's gone now, too, and I'm glad. You know, the Confederacy was a treasonous act to defend an obviously flawed institution. By the way, it doesn't mean you have to take down the Jefferson Memorial or the Washington Monument. There's a rule of reason here, which is how much could you do at a given time? Jefferson and Washington had flawed individual lives, but they prepared the way for liberty. And I'm a freedom and federalism guy, and I am not afraid to say it over and over again. Tom Cotton, by the way, who I mentioned on Meet the Press, was on Fox News with Maria Bartiromo yesterday talking about Joe Biden. I want to play that. Cut number 7, Tom Cotton.
Well, Joe Biden doesn't really have much of an agenda. Joe Biden is hiding out in his basement. He has been a weather vane for the Democratic Party fads and fashions for the last 50 years. That's why he was always soft on communism, the Soviet Union. That's why he always voted to outsource our jobs to China, why he still, to this day, says that China is not one of our competitors. But that means when he gets in office, he is simply going to be a vessel for the radical left of the Democratic Party, whether it's Elizabeth Warren's economic policies or the mobs that we see in the streets tearing down statues in an instance of mob violence, or passing a D.C. statehood bill.
It is true. The Democrats have gone off the left edge cliff, and Joe Biden will not be able to restrain him. I don't know if he's going to be able to go to work. Cut number six, Tom Cotton talks about China.
The Chinese Communist Party is certainly using the pandemic to try to assert claims and take very aggressive action against almost all of its neighbors. Just go around the horn. You started in India. We're high up in the Himalayas. China has essentially invaded India, an ally of ours, and they've killed 20 Indian soldiers. And then in Hong Kong, they've passed legislation that violates their international commitments, their commitments to the people of Hong Kong, that is essentially going to turn Hong Kong into the same kind of police state mainland China is. And in the South China Sea, they've taken aggressive action against our partners, countries like the Philippines, Malaysia, Vietnam. They've repeatedly invaded the airspace in recent weeks of Taiwan. And just this past week, they've taken aggressive action against Japan in the East China Sea. China is becoming more aggressive than ever. That's why it's so important that we support all of our allies and partners, that we make it clear to China we will not tolerate this kind of action, that we want competition to remain peaceable. But
Good for Tom Cotton. He's so good out there. Mike Pence is great on the trail as well. Mike Pence went to the Dallas Center to celebrate freedom yesterday. Cut number eight.
And to remember, as President Reagan said, the freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It's to be fought for, protected, and handed down to them to do the same. And I'm proud to report to you as your vice president that from the first days of this administration, that's exactly what President Donald Trump has been doing, protecting, defending, and celebrating freedom of every American of every race and creed and color. And to celebrate freedom means many things. To celebrate freedom means building an economy where every American of every walk of life can live the American dream. And under this president, we've allowed Americans to keep more of what they earn. We've rolled back the heavy hand of federal red tape at a historic pace. We've unleashed the vast natural resources of this land. And with that renewed freedom, before the pandemic struck, American businesses, large and small, had created more than 7 million jobs in our first 3 years.
He also talked about the key element going forward. I got time. Cut number nine.
And as we did this morning, to celebrate freedom also means standing up for and standing with those who defend our freedom at home and abroad. The armed forces of the United States are the greatest force for good the world has ever known. And under President Trump's leadership, I'm proud to report to you, after years of budget cutbacks that literally saw us a significant portion of our Air Force aircraft on the ground being used as spare parts to keep other aircraft in the air, we've rebuilt our military. We've restored the arsenal of democracy.
Mike Pence is so right. There is a great agenda for Donald Trump to run on. The president just needs to start running on it. One-on-one interviews, whether it's Anderson Cooper or Chuck Todd, whether it's Lester Holt or me. Every day, 1, 2, 3, 4, one-on-one. Answer the questions like you did in 2016, Mr. President, and win. Hey, question I get is, how far do you go on Saturday? 12 miles. That's right. So I can barely breathe. The asthma kicked in. I know I don't have COVID, but man, oh man, yesterday was tough. I'm wearing my circular ring right now because I want to make sure my oxygen level is up and my pulse is great. But relieffactor.com, $19.95 gets you started. I carry Kirkman, resveratrol, and Omega. Welcome back, America. Selena Zito is America's sweetheart. That's why I play the Carpenters, bringing her on. Everybody loves Selena Zito. You can subscribe and get every Selena Zito column, whether in the Washington Examiner, in the New York Post, or the Wall Street Journal, by going to her website, Selena Zito, and giving her your email, which she will guard jealously. I do think, Selena, I've got to lend you my web team. I think we've got to figure out how to modernize Selena Zito a little bit, because it's, you know, it shouts CNN at me when you come on.
I know. Well, when my web person comes back from vacation on Friday, I already told her to fix it.
You know, if I had a producer, I'd have fixed mine a long time ago. So we have the same problem. Selena, you mentioned to me, I read your column. You've been back to Lordstown. I tell people it's not my hometown because it's adjacent to Warren for tax reasons, but it is my hometown. Half the gals and girls, girls and boys I went to school with, moms and dads worked at Lordstown. What's it like right now?
Well, it's starkly different than it was just in March, when sort of all hope was gone. The Lordstown General Motors plant had shut down. It had gone down from the its high of 15,000 people that it employed there in just 20 years ago to about 1,500 that it employed about a year ago. And it shut down in, I should say, November of 2018, and GM had no plans on refitting it or to create another car, make another car. It was known for making the Cruze, and you couldn't drive through Mahoning Valley or Trumbull or Stark without seeing a Cruze everywhere. It was a very big point of pride. Last week, the vice president, the secretary of energy, were in town to do the rollout of the new electric truck. It's called the Endurance, which I think is an appropriate name.
Yes, it is.
And I just love that name. It almost brought a tear to my eye.
You mean Mike Pence went to Lordstown without Hugh Hewitt?
You're going to have to talk to him about that.
Oh, my gosh. All right. I am going to bring that up with the VP. Go ahead. So, you were there?
No, I was not there. I was with Tim Ryan.
They went to Lordstown without Selena Zito and Hugh Hewitt? Who is doing their press?
And Tim Ryan. Tim Ryan wasn't there either because he had votes. But he had been working behind the scenes to help make this happen. And in 4 months, Tim and I have been, Congressman Ryan and I have been talking about this. And last Thursday was the big rollout. And what everybody loves about this new truck, the Endurance, is it actually, for an electric truck, it actually looks like a truck. Like, you could put your gun rack on it. You could, you know, put your kayak on it. Elon Musk, for all his wonderfulness, his vehicles tend to look like spaceships.
How many are they producing, Selena? How many Endurances are rolling off the line at Lordstown?
They didn't have a number yet, but we should have that number by the end of the week.
I never thought I was going to own a truck, but I might buy an Endurance, if it's at all reasonable, just to get them going.
I know. Me too. I'm really excited about this. And what I think, what you're going to end up seeing, like the Chevy Cruze, you're going to see the Endurance all over the place in the Mahoning Valley, Trumbull County, Stark.
You know, they got to make it in orange so that it can be a Browns fan thing, too. I don't want a gold and black. I just want orange ones, all right? So if we get an orange Cleveland Browns Endurance truck, you could actually persuade me of that. You know, I had told my friend Lance Theobald, who's got one of the great startups, I invested a little bit of money in it, called Secure Space, that they ought to be using, it locates places for people. It's like Airbnb for freight. I said, go to Lordstown. You know, but it's taken off. It's a huge startup. Secure Space is the best thing I've ever invested in because it just seems so intuitive to me. Are they using the plant grounds, all of it? Or is that why they haven't gone there?
Yeah, all 6.3 million square feet will be in production of the,
wow,
of the vehicle. And now some of that's going to be the production of the battery. So it's going to be multi sort of faceted, but I think it's an incredibly great use of the,
What kind of workforce do they anticipate having, Selena?
Well, they're starting out with 1500, and they're working with the UAW. You know, there's some kind of quirky things with trying to hire back everyone that worked at Lordstown because a lot of people left. They went to Indiana. They went to Illinois. They went to other states with GM to work at other plants.
You know, Selena, you're right. Your great revolt book was such a bestseller. I'm not going to tell you what to write for your next book. But a story of the rebirth of Lordstown would be a great story. I mean, just the history of Lordstown. I can tell you about Willie Head, the murder trial of Willie Head. There's a lot of labor strife at Lordstown. I watched the Willie Head trial with F. Lee Bailey defending him as a 12-year-old boy. It's just Lordstown's got a lot of history, right? Every time you go there, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah. It has a piece of my heart. My great-grandparents were from around there, and my great-grandfather was the mayor around there.
And so, why are you a Steelers fan, then?
Hey, you've been to Youngstown. You're either a Steelers fan or a Browns fan or a 49ers fan.
We need an orange endurance. SelenaZito.com to sign up for everything Selena does, and it's all worth reading. America's sweetheart, SelenaZito.com. Don't go anywhere, America. Stay tuned.